This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you?
Come on, Jono.
I'm doing well. I'm getting over it. I'm seeing counseling. Steve-O, how are you?
Well, let me tell you what. Much like all the Cowboys GM should be doing right now, I'm on fantasy football trying to check the waiver wires, seeing what's going on out there. I need help, and they just showed us they might need a little help too.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Rodney, how the hell are you doing, pal?
Despite the terrible performance Sunday, I'm here. I'm all right. I'm making it.
We've got Kyle and Rich. They're recovering right now. They're at a bar getting all sauced up. They're still trying to get over this loss. No, I'm kidding. They're doing business. Folks, it's been a rough couple days. Fellas, what did this too? When we lose, they come out of the damn woodwork. They come out of the woodwork. Yeah, you gonna shut up. Get back in your little cave, you. Zeke only had 1 yard. You know, they wait for it. They're like parasites. They wait for this crap, you know. I hate them.
Nothing better. Nothing else.
I love my boys. I'm sticking with my boys to the end here.
No, of course. I mean, we've got some harsh criticisms to talk about, but they're still our team, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going down with the ship. If we're going down, we're all going down together.
We'll go down together.
Steve playing the piano or the violin. He looks more like a violinist.
Does he really?
Yeah, I mean, look at him. His fingers. Oh, he's got dainty.
Yeah, he's got them little... What fish did you just say
the
before?
Bonita.
The bonita.
Bonita. What the hell?
Bonita. It means beautiful in Espanol, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you got that. That going for you, which is nice.
I'm over. I'm not even going to look at Steve today. I don't know why.
You know what? That song. I think that captures what we're part of right now, and that's Billy Joel. And we'll all go down together. Huh?
Yeah.
And Doc. What a great post he puts out. People react to it. On our site, did you see it?
Yeah, Doc's amazing. I'm glad we made him an administrator on our show here. He's always adding quality content. So, I mean, folks, if you're out there, man, make sure you follow it on Facebook, because this guy, I mean, we got Rob Dobb who adds some stuff. We got the whole lineup media team here that work on the Cowboys show behind the scenes. They're always adding stuff. But Doc, man, he above and beyond this week, man, he's on top of it.
You got that right. Rodney, before we get to the game, what did you do? Was it something like a family outing? Did you sit down and get together with the family before this? Or
well, it started. You mean during the game on Sunday?
Before the game, I called the priest and said, "Priest, give us a little blessing."
It started out as a family affair, but it quickly turned into me yelling at all of my family and telling them to get out of my living room while this is taking place, because they were mocking me. They were enjoying my misery. So I told them, I kicked them all out of the house.
Yeah, you live with a Packer,
a Giant, and a Dolphin.
Yeah, I don't mind a Dolphin. Poor little
Dolphin. He's actually close. That's my son. He's getting ready to jump on board the Cowboys. That week did not help, but anyway.
No. What about you there, Chief?
You know what?
Anything going on? Did you do that damn pork of yours, that delicious slow roast?
I didn't do any of that.
I was busy doing...
No, first and foremost, most people know that I'm big time in the fantasy sports, okay? And it's the second week of the NFL, so you're still kind of feeling out. So I play a lot of daily games. I host our Cowboys podcast daily game through DraftKings,
mm-hmm.
Which fills up with 200 people pretty quick. So we got to figure something out there to get it out. But so thanks, guys, for keeping on that. But I got three different fantasy leagues. We still have that fantasy baseball league that you and I are in together that's still going on, lingering around one last week, and that'll free up some time because it's championship week for me.
Right.
So watch, you know, on top of that, watch the first set of games. Towards the end, I went out and cut the grass real quick so I could sit down and focus on the Cowboys, and quickly lost focus on them as they really – really couldn't do much of anything. I mean, if we want to get into talking to about the game,
yeah,
it just from all aspects, it just seemed like they didn't play very well. And I don't know if that's a credit to Denver's defense, which I'm going to have to say yes, or if it's just that they didn't prepare right, or there's the Zeke thing hanging over them, or what is it? What do you think happened?
I think realistically, it was my wife with her broomstick. And she had her black outfit on with a big black hat, and she put a curse on us. She put a curse on us. She puts a curse on us every year. Ever since I married her, she has had a curse on us. And I've tried everything. I've tried throwing holy water on her, squirting her with holy water.
Easy.
Yes, with a gun. Oh, with a water holy gun. Water gun. Yeah, water gun.
Water guns holy? I'm not familiar with that.
I've had the priest make some holy water and bless it, and I put it in a
super soaker.
I put it in a gun, and I shot her with it. Now, obviously, that didn't help, and she did it again. She cursed my Cowboys to lose, and sure enough, it happened. And this, I had nothing to do with it. All I did was want to watch my Cowboys play, and she goes, "You're not watching it here. I got people coming here." Well, where the hell am I going to watch it? I don't want to go to a bar. I don't like that. I like my house.
Right.
And she just gave her two fingers out and then put her whammy on
us. So what'd you end up doing?
I watched at the house, and I said, "I'm not leaving. I'll go back. I'll go downstairs to my man cave." She said, "I don't want you in the house or watching the game. You're going to be loud."
Want you,
you could hear the F bomb being thrown upstairs and everything. I can't stop yelling when I'm watching a Cowboy game.
Yeah.
But let me ask you guys this: do you rather lose like that, or do you want to lose a close game?
I don't want to look shitty as we did. Look at how the game played out. Trevor Siemian looked like Joe Montana or John Elway. I mean, he's picking us apart. The two receivers, Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, they look like world beaters. They're all over the place. I don't understand how Von Miller is three steps in the backfield before the ball's even snapped.
Von Miller is God.
He's a beast.
So I would rather lose a game that I was somewhat competitive in, and I couldn't tell. Now, obviously, in the second half, we seem to be a little bit better later on in the game, but was that just because they called off the dogs so much, or was it that we made some adjustments?
No, you can't make adjustments.
I can look at it a couple different ways. In general, I would not want to get my ass handed to me like we did. I want to play a more competitive game, show that we belonged on the field. However, I'm going to try to find the silver lining in this. This was a gut check. We beat the Giants. We finally got over the hump. They beat us twice last year. We took care of them. We dominated. And I don't know this to necessarily be the case, but maybe they kind of sat back and thought they were better than they really were. So now, like I said, I'm going to try to find the silver lining. Getting your ass handed to you like we did, let's hope this is a good gut check time for them, where they woke up Monday morning and you said, "You know what, we've got to fix some things, we've got to be better," and they get after it this week. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm hoping for. Hopefully that's the silver lining in this, that they all went home and took a long look in the mirror and said, "You know what, I got my ass kicked today," because they did. And frankly, outside of Sean Lee, maybe a little bit of DeMarcus Lawrence, Jalen Smith looked okay, but he still – you know what I mean? There was very few players that actually had a good game, you know.
I thought our offensive line looked like crap.
No, they were getting – blown up.
For an offensive line that's supposed to be cat's ass of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys looked bad. You guys looked bad.
Absolutely.
And you guys, one after another, you guys can't open up a hole for – our running back, you guys can't hold out this guy. Double team him. Do something, for love of God. I mean, this guy is in our backfield every time. And Prescott, let me tell you this, too. you don't have the luxury of 4.5, 5 seconds like you're accustomed to. When in doubt, you got to get rid of the ball. And you, my friend, you like to hang on to that ball. You can't do that. You can't do that. Where is my little Richie? Not for long.
Not for long.
And I'm telling you right now, he's hanging on to that ball way too long, thinking something's going to happen. You need to adjust. That's where I think like Tony Romo adjusted to what was coming. He will adjust. Prescott will adjust. But I'm just saying to you right now, folks, I mean, he's had a luxury of a nice pocket. Now, this last Sunday, he got the taste of a real live defensive line there coming after him. I mean, that Miller, he is a freak of nature that I'm going to say is a resemblance of Lawrence Taylor. I have not seen, and then God rest his soul, Derek Thomas. Derek Thomas, Lawrence Taylor is this guy. I really think that those two are this guy.
Yeah. No, I can't disagree.
He's
with
a bad man. Did you guys?
He's incredible.
Answer the question. How is he? Does he have our snap count? He was in the backfield.
He does it every week.
I know.
Every week he does this.
And they had to, and we'll pull it up on the screen here, but they had to have 5 encroachment or offside penalties.
Let me pull it up here.
But he was still in the backfield most of the game. And that's the frustrating thing. I mean, I guess the only way you solve that is what? Change the snap count?
Well,
change your cadence?
What that means is you're going to have to game plan differently, adjust differently, and if you got to put 2 guys on him, that somebody else is running free. You know, something. You know, the game plan just from the get-go, like we just – and Jono, I agree with your criticism of Dak Prescott, but in general – I know we were from behind, but he dropped back to pass 50 times. That's not what Dak Prescott's good at. That's not what we want him to do. Like, our whole game plan was just off. You know, Elliott only touched the ball 9 times, and I get it. We were behind, but my point is we played Denver's game from the get-go.
Here's another thing, too.
The get-go. There was no – we didn't establish ourselves even for 1 drive.
Here's another thing that I didn't like to see out of Prescott that was familiar with – past QBs of the Cowboys, when you're in the pocket and that pocket's about to collapse, move forward. Don't run backwards. Don't take the ball back. And we were seeing this new thing from Prescott that I was like, dude, I never seen this from you last year. Or, I want you to be Dak Prescott and don't worry about – I mean, I just didn't understand why all of a sudden he transformed into this player that was, well, who's this player?
I just hope that it was an anomaly and not, you know, the Cowboys are expecting him to become someone different than who he is.
And throw the ball, too, for the love of God, Rodney. He did not throw the ball. And you sent me a text message here.
Even if the ball got intercepted or we threw the ball 50 yards over our receiver's head, I just wanted to see one time drop back and throw the ball down.
You're right.
Just air it out and let Dez or Butler, somebody go try to get it. Because those DBs and those linebackers were just clogging the middle of the field. They were pressing because they knew our offensive line was not going to hold up very long. But, just one shot. Down the field. Just see what happens. At the very least, make them think that we might throw the ball deep. And if, let's say, we threw a ball up, Hail Mary, whatever, and it worked, the game plan can change from that point forward. You know what I mean? It's just we had no threat of any kind whatsoever.
And you get that by respect, by launching it out there 15, 20, 30 yards down, and then that gets that defense a little bit back. If Miller knows that there's something coming in the middle – by the way, Witten, God bless you, lad. I mean,
I forgot to mention Witten. He was good.
But you know what? Doesn't it always seem, Steve-O, I know you're doing something, but doesn't it always seem like when Witten is the most valuable offensive player, we're not having a good game on the scoreboard?
No, you're exactly right, because all of a sudden, he's not, they don't call very many plays for him. I mean, he's the check down guy. He's the guy sitting in the middle of the field. He's Mr. Reliable. You know, they're looking to get the ball outside the hash marks for some big plays or run Beasley in for those plays. So, yes, you're exactly right, which, you know, I'm checking. I mean, this guy is on fire in fantasy, which tells me that's not a good mix for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
No, exactly what I was saying earlier. It's in general, if our receivers are all catching 9, 10, if all of them are, that means we're dropping back to pass way too often, which tells me then that we're behind in the game. Right? We want to get out ahead and run the ball. That's what we want. Run,
stabilize,
play action.
It.
Exactly.
50-50, 60-40,
exactly.
Something like that. Yeah, I get it.
We're not going to – I hope I'm wrong, but if we are chasing our tail – In games this season, we're gonna have, it's gonna be a tough season. Like we need to be out ahead and establish ourselves and not have to drop back and throw the ball 50 times. That's
I'm telling
not what
you right
we're
now.
We're designed to do.
I'm telling you right now, Rodney. I really think that Goodell really broke Zeke down. This last game, Zeke did not look like Zeke. He did not look like he was having fun on the bench. He was sitting there, even when the thing was still in contentions on winning, he wasn't there, man.
No,
he wasn't
like
there, and you know what? Good job, Goodell. You may have not gotten to the kid to suspend him yet, but you've really messed with this kid's head. I mean, you've gotten this kid down to where now he's questioning: is this what it's all about? Is this what it's? I'm not having fun. This used to be fun. I'm not having fun. And that's what they've done to this kid. I mean, honest to God, what the hell is happening here?
I'm not ready to go that far yet. I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know.
He didn't look himself, though, man.
But that could have been a lot.
And then you got Thomason on TV. Oh, he quit on his team. Well, you know what? You never went through that crap. You never had to deal with that. You never even wore the star for you to come out and shine like that. You played for San Diego. No one even knew you back there. You to get in the Hall of Fame is a joke to me. I mean, honest to God.
Oh, come on.
Come on now. Let's not get crazy.
He got in the Hall of Fame by what? What credential? Everyone seems to be getting in the Hall of Fame nowadays. I don't understand that. Everyone that was half-assed back then that I used to watch is now getting in the Hall of Fame. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I wouldn't say he's half-assed. I mean, the guy's
okay. He was a good player. He was a good player. But don't tell me my guy laid down and you're
well.
Telling
here's
me
the deal.
Zeke did not want to win that game.
Well, I think
what the hell does he want from Zeke to do?
Well, here's what he wants Zeke to do, and this is probably pretty telling. And we'll see if anything ever happens from it. But Zeke didn't step up as a true leader of the team, and I saw that too. Zeke didn't sit there. He didn't get in people's faces, didn't say, come on, guy. Didn't try to tell guys, hey, I know offensive line, you're having a rough day. He didn't go to Dak and say, hey, I'm not having much room to run. You're going to have to, we're going to have to pick up some different angles, you know, some different plays.
He didn't go like that before the game either.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, no, but.
I'm just saying to you guys. We're people. We're human. We're flesh.
Of course.
Absolutely. When a horse race goes off, they're horses with four legs. They're not machines. They're not things that you could put gas in and the damn thing takes off like you're supposed to. I get all that. I'm just saying to you right now that what Goodell has done, I think, is breaking the kid down to where he's not enjoying the game. And that indication gives me when he was sitting down at the bench and not really into it.
I'm going to respectfully disagree. And I love you, Jono. I do. But he's still playing. He still gets to – he's playing the game. You know what I mean? Like he's – I don't want to say he's won, but – so far, the system has allowed him to continue playing, right? And what we want from him is to be a leader. He is one of our best players on the team. And hopefully this is a growth day for him, a learning experience for him. But I'm with Steve. What I wanted to see out of him was to be a leader. And what a leader does is no matter how bad the game is, no matter how bad of a day or the league's coming down on top of you, a leader will still continue to lead, and he just didn't do that Sunday. He just didn't. So
no, I'm not arguing with that.
No, I know, but I just don't. I don't know. just to disagree with your point a little bit, just, you know, I mean, he still was out there. He still got to play.
Well, I'm not saying he's not playing, but I'm saying that he's just not – he did not look like the Zeke. He did not look like
– No, I agree. I mean, he didn't just look like himself.
That's not the player that we've seen in the past, and now they're coming down with all these sanctions to where we need the emergency – we need a suspension of this and that. I mean, the guy picks that crap up. The guy sees that. And you know what? Every time they tackle him, every time now a Cowboy fan sees something happen, it's like, you know what? Maybe you should be suspended for the six games. Maybe this – no, a lot of contradiction, a lot of say in the locker room. I think a lot of this is – He needs peace. This kid just wants to play. And I think the founding father of this is Goodell, who's just won't let this thing go.
And I agree with you, but you just said it right there. He needs to play. Well, he still has the ability to play. He was still on the field. He still had his shoulder pads on and his helmet and everything else. It just didn't look like he wanted to play. I'm not questioning his integrity or anything like that. We both can agree that something looked off, right? Something did not look right. Now, what that is, you might be right, but you know, like you just said right there, you know, he needs to lead. Like, what if he's all those problems are going on in his life or the NFL or whatever that's going on for that. 2 hours, 3 hours, that's his chance to go and get away from all that and just play, right? Like you said, just play. Hit the guy in front of you. Run over someone when you're carrying the ball. Catch the ball out of the backfield. That's where he had the opportunity to go do that. And that's where he let me down a little bit on Sunday. Uh-huh. That's just where I'm coming from on that.
Well, I think he looked like he was hip-hopping in the backfield. And granted, I think he's looking for a hole to hit. But to me, it just – he didn't seem like he was running the same. He didn't look like he was really getting after it. And I don't know. Jono, you might have something. You might be exactly right there, what's going on with him. But let me tell you what, if they play like that, it's going to be NFL not for long as far as being in the standings. That's for sure.
And you just brought up something that we always harp on, and we're always a huge fan of Zeke about. What happens when he gets to the line and it's clogged? He still falls forward for 2 or 3, 4 yards. That did not happen on Sunday. And I agree with you, Steve. I think that he was not – I don't think he was running with the same intensity, you know. And maybe we're over – exaggerating, I don't know. But that's we all saw something, did we not? We all can agree that we saw something was off.
I thought our DBs horrible.
Terrible.
I thought, you know.
They were dropping like flies.
When our defensive linemen and our linebackers are giving the 3-4 yards, but you know what? We're holding it together for 3rd down and 3, 3rd down and 4. Then they're passing it, and they're making it come on, man. I mean, and there's that arm tackling that I was telling you guys about. I mean,
no,
Jesus Christ, it just happens and happens and happens. It's gonna hurt us, and it hurt us.
You know what, folks? I apologize because we're kind of jumping all over the board, and it's because we've already done a podcast during the game on Sunday just in the fact of all of our texts back and forth. That's, you know, the one thing that we watched is these guys make these arm tackles and Carroll just get burnt over and over and over, and then all of a sudden it's an injury here, and I'm not calling him out on it. You know, he's probably
had
something.
I thought Brown got burnt much more than Carroll.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't keep track.
I think
was,
that number 27, who's our number 27? Let's look him up real quick. I thought, how many times are we going to get burnt inside the 5-yard line to where they're going to roll out like that? Go with the rollout. Why are you getting sucked in all the time? You don't need to get sucked in.
It's defense 101 on that. I mean, because you know that, well, maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't game plan for that correctly. But, no, I'm not making an excuse for it. No, you're absolutely right. Because that's exactly what the offense wants your defender to do. And we went for it over and over and over again. So, no, John, I agree with you. It was bad all the way around. And they got sucked in, and they ran the same play. How many times did they run the same play on the goal line?
twice, and both of it was a touchdown. I mean, after a while, you pick it up at third down. Just go with that guy. Go with that guy, and don't worry about the QB. We could chase down Simeon.
Right.
I don't think Simeon's going to run a 6-yard in on us. So I don't know.
It's the same thing that we've been talking about throughout the entire preseason, and now for these first two games. Our tackling is still bad. It was bad in the preseason. It really wasn't good against the Giants.
I kept bringing it up, didn't I, with all the hand tackling. And we're seeing it.
We got really exposed this week, yeah, because C.J. Anderson was running with a purpose. I mean, he was running just right – and Jamal Charles. They were running right through us, right over us. So, no, it's been bad. It's got to get better. There's no other way around it.
Well, here's that rollout again. How many rollouts did they do?
He's tripping, falling over, and yeah.
That was one rollout right there. They had two more like that.
Yeah.
They had two more like that. Come on. You got to pick that up. And as a defensive coordinator, here's that number 27 I'm telling you about. I mean, that just – I don't know. Any case, my friends, we'd like to hear from you guys about what your take on this was. I mean, we're not by any means saying let's abandon anything. But
no,
we're
not at all.
We're definitely saying that we do have problems, and we need to take care of these problems because I think the NFC East, I like where we're sitting in the NFC East, okay? Bottom line, I think the NFC East is ours. I really do. I think
it's going to be
what I seen out of the Giants, they look old. They look tired. They don't look good at all. Philadelphia still makes some dumb mistakes. Washington, I'm still not convinced about their QBing. I think it's these other teams that are going to be just tossing the ball left and right. They're the ones that scare me.
That's my biggest fear with the remaining teams that we have left on the schedule.
Here it is again. Watch this. This is what I'm saying to you, and it's the same player constantly getting burnt.
No. And what I was getting ready to say was we have to play the Chiefs, the Packers, the Raiders, off the top of my head. No offense to Denver, but I don't think they're probably in the same league as those teams offensively. Would you agree? I mean, we've got to get better pretty soon because we haven't even faced the best offensive teams yet on our schedule.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. If you look at Denver, that quarterback isn't bad. He's a smart kid. I believe he's out of Northwestern.
He's getting better and better.
He's now in his second full year as a starter. So he can obviously play to the point where they took one of the top quarterback picks last year in the draft, and he's not even sniffing the field. And this guy just flat out beat him out, okay? So you might be looking at something. He throws a good ball. They got a really decent 1-2 punch with C.J. Anderson, who's a former big-time player, and another guy, Jamal Charles, coming back from really an injury that people thought his career was going to be over, and he's starting to get into shape. And then you look at your threats on the outside between Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, who anybody that knows anything about fantasy football, those guys rack up the points, and they were a little down last year because Simeon wasn't quite where he is right now. So I'm not saying this isn't a bad team, and their defense has been the one.
No, absolutely, I get it.
Yeah. That led them the whole time. The defense won the Super Bowl for them a couple years ago.
Yeah, I know.
So it wasn't Peyton Manning.
No,
it was a defense. So now all of a sudden, when you, I don't know if you can discount the Denver Broncos. I think we all were based off of not knowing how well Simeon was going to play. He played well in the first game. He looked really sharp. He was throwing the ball on the run, hitting people right there in the numbers, in the hands. And then, to be honest with you, we had how many plays that we didn't make? And then penalties.
We were inside their 5-10-yard line, and we just didn't capitalize. We didn't make it happen. Anyway, my friends, what did we learn from this? We're not going to be 16-0 like I
predicted. We weren't better than the Denver Broncos on Sunday. What did I learn? It's more about what I haven't learned yet about this team is how we respond, because what I saw on Sunday, It's the pessimist in me. It made me nervous.
Well, let me ask you this.
Watching that game, I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, shit, maybe we're just not as good as I thought we were.
Let me ask you this, though. Did our offense cost us or our defense cost us?
I think there was blame to go around on both sides. I mean, obviously you give up 42 points, your defense wasn't very good, but, you know.
There's something to be said about that, too. I mean, if your offense is going at 1-2-3, our defense was out there for a while.
A lot in the first half.
And don't forget Akeem Talib. I mean, this is another one that if you want to point out something, you've got Dez Bryant going up against two pretty stellar top-end cornerbacks the first week one and week two, you know, the Jackrabbit up in New York and now Talib here, okay? So all of a sudden, Dez has been awfully quiet because of that, I think. Where are your other receivers outside of Witten making special plays? Now, Terrence Williams in the first game had a couple of decent ones. Bryce Butler had a nice catch, but I think Butler missed one that he could have.
Yeah, should have.
Should have had. So,
in fairness to the receivers, though, there were sometimes receivers open. A couple times they were open, and he didn't even look their way. I mean, there were receivers open there. In the game. I think Prescott, he needed this, and he needed this to get out of the system, too. The offensive line, they played like crap. There were times when they did do stuff, but I just didn't see it. I just didn't see it. I didn't like the chemistry all around. I didn't like my wife waving her wand at my TV. That was a bad setting from the get-go, so.
No, I'm with you, Jono. The chemistry.
Well, my wife.
The chemistry was terrible. It was both of them. There was equal blame to go around. They both were feeding off of each other in a rather poor way.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what we got.
We can break it down more. There's a lot to go around, bud. Don't.
I want to wash it clean. I just want to be. You know what I mean? Just get it. I hope, like Jono said, it's out of our system. It's gut check time, and you know we got hit in the mouth, and now it's time for us to respond. I hope so.
And you know what?
Our fear I can't watch football
okay.
Like
let me
that.
Let me throw another one out at you. You lose to the Giants twice last year. Do you have some sort of hangover on this that all of a sudden that monkey's off your back and you go out and you shit the bed in the following game? Could that be just a little bit of it that really our big play to start off the year was looking at the Giants game of more than what it was or what it should be? Instead of looking at it as one game at a time, and all of a sudden, you're right, Rodney, you get punched in the mouth, and now it's, okay, we have to go out there and prepare every game. Just because we beat the Giants, who, in essence, if you do the same thing to the Giants that last year that you did this year, you're 15-1, right? So you beat the Giants, and you're thinking, oh, well, shit, we're going to run 16-0, and maybe you got a little lackadaisical, and you get out there to Mile High, you get punched. Now where do you go?
The only thing you can do is go up, hopefully, right?
I think all around we got out. I'll play it, I'll coach everything.
I think there is some truth in that, Steve. I think where I kind of addressed it at the beginning where I thought that, you know, we were so wrapped up in you know, beating the Giants that we kind of sat back and we heard the headlines and everyone kind of sat back and felt, you know, hey, you know what? We're pretty damn good, right? You know, you kind of feel really good about yourself. And all of a sudden you show up on Sunday and you realize the Broncos are better than what we thought they were going to be. And they just absolutely – before you know it, the game was over. I mean, they dismantled us from top to bottom. So hopefully there is some truth to that. But hopefully then also it's a building moment, right, as a team where you know that you have to come to play every single week. Doesn't matter who you're playing. You know, we saw the Chiefs dismantle the Patriots on week one, right? Did anyone see that coming necessarily? I mean, I know the Chiefs were going to be good this year, but it really should open the team's eyes that they have to come to play and not just play, but practice week in, week out, every week. This schedule is not easy. It's not an easy schedule.
Did they say this was the toughest schedule in the NFL? Is that what it was? That somebody else?
They said Denver's got the toughest.
Maybe okay.
Schedule.
So
yeah, it's up there. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's ranked, but shit, just look.
Well, I really thought that this game, you seen Zeke,
he's always noted to get that 1 yard, that 2 yard, never to fall back and get minus two, minus 3 yards. And this time around, we've seen that. And
to my amazement, I have no idea why we still keep tossing the ball, handoff type pitch to Zeke on the outside. I just don't see it. I think he's much more between the hash mark type of runner. I really think that he's that type of runner to where he's through the zero hole, through the three hole, or the
A gap in there.
One hole, something like that. But I'm just
making up terms right now.
I just don't see him going outside. And we just keep doing that, and it's not. And here's another thing too. You're down by 20 something points. Stop handing off. We don't care anymore. We don't care about the handoff. Let's just focus in on the pass. One more thing, and I think I'm speaking for the entire Cowboy Nation here. We're on the 25-yard line. Why punt the ball? Why? What's the point on losing by 30 or 40? Go for it. Go for it.
You know, that is something that bothers me in the NFL, is that a lot of times, like you said, John, when you're at a point where you're not going to win, they do it in all other aspects of the game where they go, okay, well, let's run, you know, a 2-minute drill, or let's work on something. We don't want to just give up. We want to run something. Why exactly, when you're on your own 25 and it's fourth down, don't you have to go for it? What's it matter?
What do you think, Steve-O.
Is somebody there looking at the bookie saying, oh, shit, we're going to hit the over? Or right. They already had the over.
Yeah.
They had the over. They had the spread beat. You know, there was nothing bad that could come out of it. You had to go for it.
And I don't know why the hell we even care about that. Why the hell we even care if we're going to get beat by 30 or 40 or 50? If you get beat by 30... it's the same concept to me as you get beat by 50 or 60, all right? Bottom line here, my friends, is go for it. Just get the ball and move the ball. If you can't move the ball, still try to move the ball. If you can't move the ball, they're going to stop them on defense and have them kick a field goal. But just don't punt the ball away.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I completely agree. I don't understand what's the point in not going for it.
I just don't understand why OP does that all the time. It just irritates the hell out of me.
Hey, easy. I'm a ginger. Easy. No, I agree with you. I don't know. I'm now in a bad mood because we've been talking about this.
Just flabbergasted, aren't you, over there?
I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in a good mood too, but now I'm thinking about the game. Time-wise, possessions, 26 minutes for us. 34 minutes to them.
And that surprises me. It felt like our defense was on the field a lot longer.
A lot more. You're right. You're right about that. Oh, what?
Yeah, just go down to stats if you would, because and let's talk about some of those, because some of them, obviously, you see who could win the game right from the get-go, but others you're like, oh, okay, well, what
first
happened
downs,
there?
First downs, does that surprise you guys, 16 to 26?
No. I thought we got
us to 26.
I thought we were handled all around on the whole aspect of the game.
Rushing first downs. This is a big differential here. One first down from rushing first downs to 11 of theirs.
Right, which tells me we were not running our game. We were not doing what we are good at. That we weren't running our game from the jump.
If you remember, yeah, the one first down we did get, I believe, was a fourth and one or third and one. What was it, third and one or fourth and one? I guess we'll get to if we ran a fourth down. But it was one that we did get.
Well.
So that short yardage. But we did not have very many opportunities where we were in third and short at all.
I think the next one that really stands out in my mind is the third down efficiency. Three out of 14 for us. That you can't win.
No, nope.
You can't win anything. Three out of 14. Are you kidding me? And them being 9 out of 15. 9 out of 15 to me really tires down a defense. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you can't get off the field. No, I mean,
three out of 14 though, folks.
That was evident.
That is really, really not good.
No, 60%, right, Steve? You're the math guy. 60%.
I mean, 60. Three out of 14 is 60.
Never mind. Oh, not then. Ours.
Then. Yeah.
Okay, you're scaring me there with your no, your math. He's one out of 100. What is that, 75%?
Yeah. I think it's 80.
Close enough, right? It's in the ballpark.
Yeah, it's in a stadium somewhere, bud.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was talking about Denver, damn it.
Yeah, we knew what you were talking about.
I'm going to throw
some. Completed 30 out of 50 passes. That's way too many for him. I mean, we should have looked at maybe 30, maybe 20 out of 30 or something like that, 25 out of 30 or something. I don't know, but 30 out of 50, that's a lot of dropping back passes. Again, we're trying to keep everything normal. And mind you, we had to do that because we were losing. Forget the handing off BS at the end of the game because we're trying to toss the ball. That's what we're trying to do. Anyway, yards per pass, 4.4 to 5.9. That's where Rodney, I think, brought up to me. He texted all of us and said, stretch this ball out. Get this ball up in the air. Move the chains a little bit. These 5, 6, 7 yard passes are not going to do it.
Well, and not only that, but those are the ones that were covered. Like, they were playing those routes, and they were jumping those routes intentionally. That's exactly – they wanted – us to run those 5 to 7 yard routes because that's where they were sitting. We didn't take – do you remember one time that we threw the ball 25, 30, 40 yards downfield? I don't remember any. Do you?
No.
And like I said earlier, I don't care if it was even an interception or he threw the ball out of bounds or 50 yards over the receiver's head. I just wanted to see it once.
That makes sense. They needed to go downfield a little bit.
Yeah, no, the defense was just sitting on all of those intermediate routes, and that's why they looked like why you Dak turned around. I was like, whoa, shit, I can't throw there. Whoa, I can't throw there. Why? Because that's where they're sitting.
Well, and that's the thing, Rodney. When you talk about getting down in like the red zone and how the field becomes a lot shorter and it's harder to make plays down there, and in essence, that's what the Dallas offense had turned into, where it seemed like they, even though they were never inside the red zone that much, they were playing inside the red zone because
they
weren't
only playing. Yeah,
they were playing a 30-yard field. Yeah, no, I get you there.
Yeah. This one really stands out here, boys. Defensive special team touchdown. They had two touchdowns off defensive/special teams touchdowns.
And I guess that's the one that they're really jumping on Zeke for, is that did he not go after Tlaib on the interception?
Not.
So that's the one where they're talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. So
he quit on him.
So he's the one that's to blame for all that.
No. But Jono, just to your point.
Hold on. I
got him right here. Just to your point, one of your favorite plays in all of Dallas history is watching Larry Allen run down a guy, 330-pound Larry Allen running 75 yards to make a tackle on an interception.
That was Randy White.
No, Larry Allen.
I was thinking Randy White.
He runs this guy down, this little scat back defensive back, runs him all the way down and makes a hell of a play. Right. And now you're defending Zeke, not giving that sort of effort? Hey, Dak was trying to hold him up.
I'm not
you got to get after
him, but I'm just saying his outcome was the result.
No,
of...
but what you're doing, you can't look at that in a bottle. You can't look at that thing as it just in a vacuum. I mean, as it was one play. I get it. What you got to look at is how much does that weigh on everybody in that locker room? It's no different than a guy in baseball, a catcher. I'll use Yadi Molina, who routinely hits into double plays, okay? And he doesn't sprint down the line. He uses the appropriate amount of hustle. But let me tell you what, that affects other guys on the team when a veteran, when one of your leaders isn't doing the little things. It cancers the whole locker room to where, well, guess what? You know, now is Nolan Carroll saying, well, you know, Zeke didn't really try that hard. Do I have to try that hard?
Carroll was in space, by the way. Carroll didn't even know
ghosts.
Where the hell Carroll was.
I'm with you. I'm completely – and from my point, I just don't want you to excuse it because he had
I'm not
a bad
excusing
day
it.
Or the game was out of hand anyway. All is true. But leaders are born in some of those opportunistic times. And that was a time for him, even if he didn't catch him, didn't do anything, he just showed a little effort, or maybe he did go down and knock the ball out. Maybe a play does happen. Now, do we still win that game? No. But do team, you don't, I mean, your damn right teammates will pick up on that and recognize that. And maybe they'll, all that, that burden that's maybe been building in the locker room with all the, with the, with the investigation over overhanging the entire team, maybe they will sit back and say, you know what, okay, maybe they'll take an extra deep breath, and because they saw Zeke, you know, at least show to him that it wasn't affecting him the way it unfortunately did appear to be affecting him on Sunday. You gotta, you just can't, you can't pick and choose when you want to be a leader. You got to be a leader all the time.
Now you're talking Zig Ziglar. Now you're talking more like our our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle that's not here. You're exactly right. You cannot pick and choose when you're going to lead. You have to lead all the time. Now, to your point, Jono, does him getting kicked around by the league office affect him doing that, being a true leader? Obviously, he didn't get the captain on the jersey, right? Didn't get the big C on the jersey because of all this stuff hanging out there.
Right.
So is that really what it is? I would love for, you know, a Jason Witten, a Dez Bryant, one of those guys that come up to him and say, hey, let's go. Get your head out of your ass, and when you're between these white lines, you're 110%.
Yeah.
For sure. And when you're outside of them, you always got that star on your chest.
Yep.
So you better act like a cowboy and hold yourself high all the time, too.
No, and, you know, sometimes when you're the best player in your team, you don't really have a choice on whether or not you want to be the leader. And, you know, for Zeke and Dez and Dak, those guys are the leaders of this team. The public, his teammates, they're all going to look towards them to be the leader. And if you want the press and the light shining bright on you when things are going well, then you've also got to take it when they are not.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I get it, boys. I get it. But I'm just saying to you, I just want everything to be fair. I don't want everything to come down on Zeke as the one that obstructed this whole game
by not chasing
down this guy or
absolutely
anything like
not.
That. And that's what they're doing. Right now, all they're trying to do is throw some salt on a wound here.
Well, that's what the outsiders, let them do that.
Yeah, they love it, and I don't want our guy to get caught up into it. That, let it go. Just let it go. Let's move on.
Well, hey,
and that's what it's all about.
So the news is that they've denied the NFL's injunction to stop the injunction or whatever the hell they call it. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last night. I'm not a lawyer, so forgive me if I got the term wrong here.
You did pretty good the last time.
I know. So they denied that. So it looks as if we got Zeke the entire year. Okay? So maybe now he'll relax. So that's, I mean, obviously you got something going for us right there. But I still don't understand, with all the problems the NFL is having, are you telling me that you're hurting so bad that you're trying to get, you know, audiences on your side for being, for going after a guy that everybody said no criminal activities happened? That they can't prosecute him in Ohio. Your prosecutor, that your special investigating prosecutor, said, I wouldn't do anything to him. Are you that hell-bent on trying to make repair your public image that you screwed up, that you're willing to blow millions of dollars on these lawsuits? Because it ain't cheap, I can guarantee that.
No. And they got plenty of money to throw around. Maybe that is. Maybe that's...
Here's what the judge should say. How much are you going to willing to... He should go to Roger Goodell and the owner and say, how much are you willing to spend to get a six-game suspension? And if they say... We'll go to $12 million, $15 million. What he should come back and say, he's not getting suspended. I want you to take that $15 million and reduce the prices of beer across the NFL for 1 week. Okay? Give a refund back of the tickets. For Christ's sakes, get DirecTV refund for the ticket.
Well, here's the thing, too. Now, Jerry, I don't know if you guys been reading. Jerry's not going to let this guy, Goodell, he's not going to extend his NFL commissioner role through 2024.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't appear he's going to have Jerry support this time around.
No, and this is going to be affecting him because, you know what? Jerry's got the support of guys that he's made millions
to. Like the Kroenkes and all that, they are like, you know what? You helped us, we're going to help you. Let's we'll buy into it. Whatever you got to say, we're going to buy into it.
Yeah, it comes down to a politics game at that point, but we all know that Jerry's got a lot of clout in that room full of owners. Does he have all of them? You know, I don't know. Probably not, but he clearly has a lot of power and a lot of friends in that room that if those other – because really, I mean, if you think about it, all it would take is the other owner sitting back and saying, you know what? If Rodgers willing to do that to Dallas, a star player, why won't – and then he did it to Tom Brady a few years ago. Why is what does that mean he's not going to be willing to do that to my star quarterback or running back or whoever? You know, and at some point in time you would think that, you know – has the NFL made a ton of money while Roger Goodell has been the commissioner? Yes. However, do you really think it's Rodgers doing? Do you really think it's Goodell's doing?
That's the call right there.
Someone else, there's a. How long of a line do you think it would be for smart, intelligent people to line up to do that job? You can't tell me he's the only one. Hey, he must have pictures somewhere of some people because, like, I don't understand why he's still there, to be honest with you, because I just don't understand why the owners
he's not liked. He's not liked. The public doesn't like him.
No.
And the NFLPA doesn't like him. Remember Tagliabue and Gene Upshaw, they had a relationship to where they could actually have talks. Demaurice Smith, he doesn't get along with Goodell at all.
No.
You know, and all of a sudden, I mean, these guys are at each other's throats.
It kind of sounds like he might be on his way out as the representative, too, of the NFLPA. There's another election coming up, from my understanding of that soon. So.
Well, now, I think that with this thing here.
And there's an impending negotiation, right? The CBA's coming up. When is that? It's coming up.
Yeah, it's like 5 years away, and they're saying it's going to.
Right.
It's going to shut it down again.
Yeah. Sorry, John. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. You didn't cut me off, and no problem on that. I'm just saying to you right now that I think the players are noticing. I don't think they're going to be verbal about it, but I guarantee you behind closed doors they're watching what's going to happen with Zeke, because they can be Zeke one day. And they want to know if the NFLPA is strong enough to defend them. What good is the NFLPA if they're not going to be fighting for these guys and they're paying these dues?
You're exactly right. And to me, I don't have any problem with the NFL coming out with their rules and slapping the suspensions on immediately. Okay? I don't have any problem with saying, hey, domestic violence, 6 games. Okay? But if you get into a situation where it's he said, she said, there's no physical, there's not a video of you knocking the shit out of your wife coming out of an elevator, or there's not evidence through a police report.
Right.
Then I don't think, you know, okay, go ahead and slap it on them. If they appeal it, then you got to do something quick and you got to come up with some sort of resolution. 2 games for the league just getting a black eye for conduct unbecoming of an NFL player. Okay. But for Christ's sakes, to keep going back to court over and over and over and over.
And don't you want to make the fair? Don't you want to make the right decision? If there's new stuff that's been unleashed unlisted.
Absolutely. But here's the deal. How many of our Cowboys listeners out there or guys in this room, you know, have been accused of something? There's hundreds of guys sitting on death row that are innocent of something that were accused of it, you know? So there's all sorts of things that happen that guys get punished for it that shouldn't, that there's evidence out there that they shouldn't, you know? And I know they're releasing some. I guess it's probably a bad analogy there now that I think about it. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that lose jobs, lose contracts, lose getting hired because somebody says something that isn't true about them, okay? And in this case, if the evidence that all these independent people that have nothing to do with the league, if all the evidence and they say their recommendation is, there's no crime here,
mm-hmm.
then can you hold them accountable games?
That's what a lot of people are asking.
Right. If the NFL would have come back and said, okay, we gave you 6 games, you appealed it, we got this new evidence, or we reviewed the evidence, and we think that it should only be 2 games because it's conduct. It gave the league a black eye. It's just bad press for the league. I think everybody can live with that, right? But 6 games, No way. You got to fight six games.
I definitely agree with you. I definitely agree with you. And there's no question about it that if someone is overlooking the law, I think it's wrong. I think this country isn't about that. And I definitely think that, and I'm sorry, folks, if we keep bringing it up, but it's the truth. It's hurting this guy. It's hurting his play out there. And it's only getting worse out there because we're seeing Zeke. He didn't even seem like himself. Now, if things that happen next week, I'm saying bench the guy. That's as much as I'm taking it. I need this guy to beat a Zeke. I need him to get that spoon out and eat. Okay? That's what I want. Anyway, folks, that's basically what we have.
Who we got coming up next week?
Because
we're going to do a preview show coming up in a couple of days, right? That'll come out, and it'll probably be a little bit more coherent.
Let's check it out here, babe. Let's check it out. You guys have a little
computer box
there? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you
schedule
got?
For?
Sorry, I was
well, you guys don't have anything to talk about for
I'm
a time second.
Kill music. No. Right, Steve, what would you like to talk about today?
I've been kind of out of it here a little bit.
You have been?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's keep – how long well, – I mean, this is a terrible stall that we're doing here. Johnny, do you have it pulled up?
Actually, this damn thing won't pull up.
Oh,
so,
geez,
oh my God.
Let me take care of it.
Jeez.
This is crazy.
Somebody play some time kill.
Yeah, we're playing the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, yeah, Monday Night Football, that's right.
Monday Night Football. Are we doing it here?
Yeah, I think we'll do Monday Night Football here.
Let's do it here, guys. Hey, Rodney, you in?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we'll get Kyle, we'll get Rich, we'll make something happen here.
Can we have Kyle bring some chimichangas over here?
Chimichangas on the house,
and
yeah.
Chimichangas and some guacamole.
Yeah, we'll have our owner of the lineup. He'll sponsor it, he'll bring it, he'll make it happen. That's what we're talking about. Good call.
Perfect. All right, folks. That sounds good.
All right, my
How
friends.
Do they find us? Cowboyspodcast.com.
That's
Cowboys
right.
Podcast on Facebook.
That's
Cowboys
right.
Cowboys Podcast on Twitter.
Give it to us.
Cowboys Podcast on DraftKings. I mean, if you want to find us, just got to look up Cowboys Podcast. All right? So that's where to best find us. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. How do they find us? You type in the search, Cowboys Podcast. We're the one with, it says Cowboys Podcast on it, a picture of the stadium, right?
I think so.
Perfect.
I think so. I think wow, he was excellent.
And if you want to be a part of the show, private message the message board on Facebook, and we'll get you in here. We'll interview you. We'll get your take. This is a fans podcast. So guess what? We're not experts. We could give two shits what the experts think. This is our opinion, and it's not a humble opinion. It's not.
It's a straight up fans opinion.
Yeah, it's not M-I-M-H-O. Okay, it's a
M-I-H-O.
This is
a,
in my humble hell? Opinion. Isn't that the
what the hell does that mean, Rodney? Oh, who knows?
I have no idea.
Hey, but I want to give a shout out again to Doc Robert Williams. What? Hey, man, you're doing a great job for us. God bless. Keep doing the great work for us. On he's part of the team, and the guy puts out some great posts on the Cowboys podcast. And you guys have been chiming on there. We appreciate it. Leave some more messages. We'll try to get to it. And that's about it. And this Thursday, we'll come back and we'll start our whole new war paint on Arizona.
Let's go to the desert and take one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to take one. I want to give one.
Okay, let's give one.
All right, my friends from Jono, Steve-O, Rodney, we're out of here. Take care. Let's bring it. Let's forget about this one.
It's over. We're
and let's
it.
Think about Arizona, and we'll think about it with you guys on Thursday. Take care.
Go boys.
Go boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.